Hey sluts, I am Chana.
And I'm Corey.
And we are the hosts of Anyways, How's Your Sex Life?
Join your fellow true crime buffs and horror addicts as we share weekly stories of murder,
demonic possession,
and nocturnal apparitions.
So grab your spirit boards, light some candles, and listen to our true crime and supernatural podcast with a comedic queer twist.
You can now find us on Spotify,
Podbean,
iTunes,
Stitcher,
and Google Play.
Also, you can like us on Instagram and Facebook or follow us on Twitter.
At AHYSL Podcast or Anyways, How's Your Sex Life?
Hope to flirt with you soon. Bye.
Bye.
You're just gonna keep breathing. Yep. Deep breaths. La, 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 la. Oh. Okay. Here we go.
All right.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Creep It Real. I'm Ashley. It's been about 2 months. You know, things happen. Life has happened. Today, I have with me a very special guest, Bianca.
Hi.
From Crime Brulee. Even though she doesn't want me to say it, but a very dear friend of mine, Bianca Mata. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel so like honored. Like, you don't even know.
Okay. Well, I'm glad, I guess, that you feel honored to be on the podcast. But at this point, there hardly is a podcast that exists.
No.
So we're going to cover something kind of new for the podcast today, which is incubus and succubus. Incubi and succubi. Mm-hmm. We haven't done anything like that before. Here we are. So let's just get into it. We don't need to chit-chat too much. Nobody likes it. Nobody. Especially me. So an incubus is a malevolent male demon who preys on women, especially when sleeping, and typically takes on the form of an attractive male human. Maybe we've had sex with some of these dudes before without even knowing. The woman may or may not fully understand what she has gone through. She has been the victim of a supernatural rape. So she doesn't even realize that her very strength and life energy are being drained from her. Dude, we've definitely
100%,
dated.
Yeah,
we've definitely dated some dudes like this before. So anyway, I'm going to let you, Bianca, kind of explain a little bit of the history of the incubus.
Okay.
For us.
All right. Well, so in 1467, Alfonso de Espina, who was a Spanish Franciscan Catholic bishop, preacher, and writer, and the author of Fortalitum Fidei, a treatise on arguments to be used to oppose detractors of Catholicism, asserted that the number of demons was 133,316,666. This is, yeah, I know. This was based upon the idea that about a third of the angels were turned into demons, and it seems to be due to an exegesis on the Book of Revelation, chapter 12, chapters 3 through 9, which includes the fall of Satan and goes on to describe all of the creation of demons in the world.
I feel like this is fairly arbitrary, all of it.
It is.
How many demons are there again?
133,316,666.
Did this guy seriously sit down and tally up that many demons, mm-hmm. and he individually named them all?
You know, did he name them?
Probably not. He's like, that sounds like a good number. We'll say that. A million will be believable, you know.
I don't know why we went through 133 million, but it's fine.
It's good.
So there are, as there are tons of demons, of all the demons, there are two that we and most people find to be the most intriguing, which...
Because sex. You know.
Apparently.
We all love it, right? If you don't, what's wrong with you? Yeah. Well, I guess there could be some stuff. Some legitimate reasons psychologically that you may not like it, but come on.
That you or you haven't had good sex, so.
Yeah. Not. Yeah, yeah. Hey. Yeah. Okay.
So in order to maintain a little bit of clarity and distinction between the two entities, incubus and the succubus, and to provide further detail on both, we wanted to cover them separately, starting first with the incubus.
Yep. So, the incubus is the dude demon.
Yes.
It comes from the Latin word incubo, which literally translates into a nightmare induced by such a demon, because the incubus, like we said, preys on its victims at night. In some traditions, the incubus puts the woman into a trance so that they are unable to move or call for help. Sounds like a roofies demon. It is actually... Oh, I said, is this actually Bill Cosby? Is he a long-standing incubus? Some people believe that incubus and succubus or demons are the same entity, simply switching back and forth from male to female, which sounds fairly...
rapey?
They're all rapey. I mean, but it's, I guess it sounds worse in that case.
So the first mention of the incubus was in Mesopotamia on the Sumerian king list. The Sumerian king list being an ancient stone tablet which listed the kings of Sumer, which is modern-day Iraq. Kingship was seen as being handed down from the gods, so the list blends prehistorical mythology with history, much like the ancient Egyptian culture and their pharaohs. In Sumeria, Gilgamesh, who was a historical king of Uruk and later deified, had an epic written about him titled The Epic of Gilgamesh, Mingo figure.
Mm-hmm.
There are also 5 surviving poems about his exploits, which do tie in a lot of mythology as well.
Right.
In the epic, Gilgamesh's father, Lilu, which is the masculine Akkadian word for a spirit related to the Alu or demon, disturbs and seduces women in their sleep.
So along with the Lilu, Sumerian demonology also mentions the Eridu Lili, who begets ghostly children from its victims, along with its female counterpart, the Ardat Lili, who becomes pregnant with these same ghostly children. The children of the incubus and succubus are Cambion, unnatural half-breed of earthly and unearthly children bestowed with supernatural powers.
Some notable Cambions include the wizard of Arthurian mythology, Merlin, advisor to the legendary King Arthur and Hellboy from the Hellboy comics.
So basically, all true, all very true. King James, the very trustworthy one from the King James Bible, stated in his writings that neither the incubus or succubus could produce demon seed themselves. But they got around this and were able to beget these offspring by stealing semen from humans who were dead or alive and then impregnating a woman with that semen. Obviously, this corpse would have to be freshly dead or obviously, because then it would just be unreasonable, or the semen would be cold and unusable. Mm-hmm. A way the incubus would get around this sticking point would be to inhabit the dead body and rise from the dead, then fornicating, likely raping the women and impregnating them with the risen body's semen. If that's not too complicated for you.
I mean.
Go for it. King James said he believed incubus and succubus to be one and the same and simply changed themselves to whatever gender they needed to be for their desired prey. Okay, here's a little good fact for you. It is said that one can identify an incubus by its unusually large and cold penis, with some sources in the European traditional societies claiming that the incubus is bisexual, victimizing both genders without much discrimination, while other sources say that it is able to lie with a man, but finds it unpleasant or even detrimental to its own well-being.
Okay.
Okay.
So I was also reading the Malleus Maleficarum, which is best known as... again, the most thorough treatise on witchcraft. It states that demons are not capable of reproduction, but that a succubus would have sex with a human man, take a sample of his sperm, pass to an incubus, and then in turn have sex with a human woman, which, in my opinion, just sounds like a story from a woman who had an affair.
Someone got pregnant. I just think there's a lot of passing the sperm going around here. Like, what's going on?
It's an internal snowball. It's fine.
Roll it down that hill.
Also, according to the Malleus Maleficarum, exorcism is one of the 5 ways to overcome attacks of the incubi, the others being sacramental confession, which is just the acknowledgement of one's sins, the sign of the cross, moving... and excommunication.
Excommunicating the demon. This is... okay, I'm sorry, but... how can I word this without being just the most offensive person on earth? Does anything that comes out of religion sound legitimate to any of us here? I'm like, what is the deal? Like, it just sounds like a bunch of bullshit. Constant bullshit. Building on more bullshit.
It just... honestly, it just sounds like the same thing. Like, over... it sounds redundant.
Yeah.
Right. However,
wait,
going on.
Okay.
Friar Ludovico Maria Sinistrari stated that incubi do not obey exorcist.
Oh, I did see that too.
Have no dread of exorcism. Show no reverence for holy things. So it seems like there's actually no regulations or rules on how to get this demon.
I just find this whole thing to be so hilarious about demons. It's like, where did you come up with these rules? Performing an exorcism on somebody? What demon is like, oh, I do fear the cross. Please leave me alone. I just don't understand. I don't understand what makes the incubus and succubus different. I'm sorry, everyone, all you Catholics out there. It's like, what? Please write in and tell me how this makes sense. I love to know.
There are a lot of variations on the incubus and succubus across the world. Okay. So there are a lot of them in Latin America, there are some in Europe, there's some in Africa. Starting with the Trauco of Chile, he is a hideous, deformed dwarf. So, Game of Thrones fans think of like Tyrion Lannister, but from the books. He seduces young women. They are said to be responsible for unwanted pregnancies, especially in unmarried women. Mm. Again, sounding like
an excuse for
getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. In Ecuador, the Tintin was a similar entity, being that it was a dwarf who was fond of, quote, abundant-haired women and seduces them at night by playing the guitar outside their windows.
Oh, that's a romantic one. Gosh.
Well. Hungary has a variation in which an Iderek is a satanic lover that flies at night and appears as a fiery light. Or a featherless chicken in its more innocent form. Yeah. In Brazil, the Amazon River dolphin, or boto, is a combo of siren and incubus that shapeshifts into a handsome young man and seduces women to essentially drown themselves in the women. In the river.
Drown them in the women, please. That sounds a lot better.
They're said to be responsible for disappearances and, again, unwanted pregnancies. According to legend, also wears a hat to disguise the dorsal hole at the top of its head while in human form, which I don't understand how you can shapeshift your whole ass body and be completely unable to cover your dorsal hole. You have to wear a hat? Like, you can't shapeshift that too? Okay, that's fine.
You know, there's no consistency here.
South Africa's male demon is the Tokolosh, again, a dwarf. I don't know, but they have things against dwarves, man.
I guess. Like, well.
Or maybe dwarf is not the right word.
I think it is. I think it'll be okay.
Again, hole in their head with the same water-dwelling habits of the boto. Women would place their beds on bricks to deter them from attaining their sleeping forms.
I have one from Africa, too, called the Popo Bawa.
Okay.
That is a shape-shifting evil spirit who stalks victims at night from the shadows. And the way to stop them from repeatedly attacking you is to tell other people that you've been victimized by one. So, there you go. Just tell some people.
I don't know about all that.
Okay. A mare from Sweden is a demonic being that sits on a sleeping person's chest and causes them to have nightmares, which sounds incredibly similar to sleep paralysis, which we will talk about a little bit more.
Yes.
A lot of this really just sounds like a bunch of ways to explain weird things that happen to you while you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Western Christianity folklore, the well-respected Christian theologian Thomas Aquinas believed in the incubus demon and in succubus, saying that still, if some are occasionally begotten from demons, it is not from the seed of such demons, nor from their assumed bodies, but from the seed of men taken for the purpose. As when the demon assumes first the form of a woman and afterwards of a man. So they take the seed of other things So they take the seed of other things for other generating purposes. What does that even mean?
It just sounds like their purpose of raping these women is to regenerate or to generate or give birth to additional cambions and make more demons for Satan's army.
That's how we end up with 1,000,005
133 demons. Million. Okay. 666. Mm-hmm. Now, in Turkey, we find the Karabakh Basin. These are thought to be spirits or jinns, which we describe as genies. They are believed to be seen or heard in nightmares, and although a heavy feeling can be felt on the sleeper's chest, they are unable to wake from that state. Causes include not covering one's body, mostly for women, shocking.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Those whores.
Mm, sluts. Mm-hmm. And eating in bed. So don't sleep naked and don't bring snacks to bed.
God damn it.
No Oreos, Ash.
Basically, God damn it. All of this stuff is really just written so that you don't dress in a way, mm-hmm. don't have babies out of wedlock, mm-hmm. and don't leave crumbs in bed when you're eating your snacks.
No ice cream sandwiches.
No ice cream sandwiches for you. In bed. Okay. Okay, so because an incubus can become fixated on a particular woman, some have supposedly, women, that is, have died from exhaustion after being visited by the demon night after night.
Oh. I mean, that just doesn't sound like a problem to me.
It's a good way to go. Okay? There are accounts of incubus that span the globe throughout history, but the main bulk of the quote-unquote sightings occurred during the Middle Ages in Europe. At this time, having dreams that you were being crushed to death by a person or thing were so common that they gave these dreams the name of incubus. In his article, Fear, Fantasy, and Sleep in Medieval Medicine, William McElhose took a deeper look. Okay, I'm sorry, but it's slightly fitting for somebody writing about a demon with a huge penis.
With a huge cold penis?
took a deeper look into what medieval peoples wrote about these incubus, which some saw as demons and others saw as a medical disease. He writes that the incubus is an exceptional category as understood in medical discourse and that it straddles the divide between learned and popular, theological and medical, religious and secular. It also provides a very important example of the interplay of the psychological and mental states as understood in medieval medicine. A 13th century physician, Arnold of Villanova, wrote a very in-depth account of what someone experiencing an incubus went through. He said, they know that they cannot speak nor freely make a sound. They attempt to remove the perceived impediment, for they strive to rise up, call out, and speak, and because they cannot, they exert themselves but find themselves constrained. They perceive the cause of the impediment with their spirits bound in a light sleep, and because their imagination and estimative faculty have not yet been bound by that sleep, since it is light and has just begun, they observe in a shape preserved in the repository of the imagination, the shape of the thing, which most closely signifies the cause of the impediment. Thus, since the chest and throat are being prevented from expanding, they see through their imagination the shape of someone lying upon and strangling them. Which sounds horrible, obviously. That doesn't sound fun.
It sounds like sleep paralysis.
Exactly, sleep paralysis. All the medieval medical writers wrote that the patients believed something was attacking them at night. Mm-hmm. They had many theories as to why this was occurring, ranging from eating raw foods before bed, what the room temperature was, which, I mean, a hot sleep time can definitely cause you some feelings
serious.
Of demons.
Yes. Dreamage.
Yes, we both know somebody who has an overabundance of fever dreams.
Oof.
I just said overabundance when I'm just about to say that. Okay, so then the last thing that they thought it may be was an overabundance of phlegm that caused the incubus to show up. These are very, very technical. Most of the treatments for the incubus encounters entailed making the patients feel less stressed in daily life, which that does make sense. Mm-hmm. One stated that the patient should live in the patient should live in joy and happiness and avoid all sadness.
I'll get right on that, motherfucker. Oh, you know what? Now that you said that, okay, no. Now that you said that, I'm good.
I'm happy. I'm totally happy.
I haven't heard that before. Thank you.
Yeah. You know what? Bad times come upon you, just walk away. You know? You
don't just have be to, happy. Yeah.
You don't have to meddle in it. Oh, okay. Okay.
So, I mean, it really does sound a lot like this is just sleep paralysis and that we didn't know. Yeah, we didn't know that what sleep paralysis was, because it's not until recently that we did any kind of research on the science of sleep.
Well, also, to be honest, you know, like I actually put this in my notes that sleep paralysis is becoming somewhat of a debate in mm-hmm. itself, which is like actually in a whole other episode, because the visions, I guess, or the experiences that people have while they have sleep paralysis, are so similar to each other. I mean, obviously that could be some sort of subconscious thing, but some people believe that it's actually more than just a sleeping issue, and that there is actually, like, obviously there are always going to be people that believe something is supernatural,
right.
But that there's actually a supernatural element to it, that you're kind of like when you take DMT and you have a shared experience, mm-hmm. that there's some sort of higher level of, like, consciousness that you're achieving in this sleep paralysis,
right.
that is causing you to have this experience, that you actually are whatever. So basically, I don't really know, because I didn't really, this is not the episode that I'm doing on. I have written some things about sleep paralysis, though, so we can talk about them, but it's, you know, there's, sleep paralysis may or may not be just a sleeping disorder.
Have you ever had sleep paralysis?
I have had it one time. Have you?
Never. And every time somebody explains it to me, it always sounds exactly the same.
Right.
It actually always sounds like this. And I can't imagine, like,
it was
I can't
bad.
Imagine just laying there and thinking that something evil or malicious is happening to you and just being like, well, this is sleep paralysis. I'm just going to go ahead and get over it.
Mm. Well, so just, you know, I think I've talked about it before, but my experience was I was living in an apartment. I was sleeping, and I always kept my bedroom door closed because I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night and there'd be somebody standing in my doorway.
Right.
So I always closed my door, and I had it closed, and I woke up, I thought, to hear somebody running the sink in the kitchen, and I was there by myself. So I was like, oh, fuck. You know, like, I'm about to be murdered. I don't know why the murderer decided to, like, wash dishes before he did it, but
thank you.
You know? And then I felt – I didn't feel, but I heard footsteps walk towards my bedroom door. The door opened, and then it felt like I could see, but I wasn't awake, but I felt like I could see somebody standing over me, like a large, dark shadow.
Right.
I didn't feel like I couldn't breathe, but I definitely couldn't move or open my eyes or say anything. And I think I had a girlfriend sleeping in the bed with me, and I was trying so hard to be like, you know, like, grab her arm or something. I couldn't move. It was terrifying. I mean, but I eventually woke up and, you know,
yeah,
no one was there. It didn't really happen. But
yeah,
maybe it did.
Course.
Maybe I was in another dimension for that moment.
Maybe you had a succubus that was about to try to get you.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
speaking of succubus.
Yeah, let's
succubi?
Talk a little bit about the succubus before we get into theories about what other
sleep
things
paralysis.
This could be.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about succubi. The term succubus was used for the first time to describe a supernatural being derived from a Latin word succuba, meaning to lie beneath. According to the folklore, the succubi are descended from the ancient figure of Lilith, who was the first wife of Adam. I kind of got messed up there because I didn't really think about, I don't know, what did this guy have 8 million wives at one time? Did he just get married a million times? Is he a male version of me?
Well, the thing with that is, I think you got tripped up because in Christian theology, you've always been taught that Eve is the first woman and the first wife of Adam.
Mm-hmm,
you know
mm-hmm,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So we don't hear that Lilith was.
Right.
I don't know where.
Adam.
That's not in the Bible.
Okay, so here we go. It's not in the Bible. It might have been in the Bible, but it was taken out of the Bible. There were lots of books removed. Okay, so Lilith left Adam and refused to return to the Garden of Eden after she mated with an archangel, Samael. God damn it, Bianca. Okay, hold on.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I can't.
Actually, let's just leave you correcting me. It'll be fine. Who mated with 4 succubi. From Mesopotamian to Hebraic, Lilith was usually associated with the devil in both proximity mm-hmm. and depiction. Lilith is blamed for diseases inflicted, quote-unquote, inflicted on men, but also for wandering about at nighttime, vexing the sons of men and causing them to defile themselves.
Should have sit in the kitchen.
Wait, yeah, it's like, this sounds like a fucking personal problem of all of these dudes, to be honest with you. Hell, let's just blame her, though, because, you know, that's what the Bible loves to do. Even though I guarantee this isn't in the Bible now, I know, but I'm sure it was in the Bible at some point, you know, and then they took it out because they didn't like women to have any sort of
power
whatsoever.
No say.
Okay.
So I had read something that stated that the Zohar, which was written in the 13th century by R. Moses de Leon, she refused to be subservient to him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that sounds like me. So basically you and I.
Yeah.
Like, go fuck yourself. I'm out of here.
Right. And the other thing, so like the incubus having the huge
cock.
Huge ice cold cock.
Yeah.
The cold penetrating feeling of the ink, like that whole cold feeling, the act of penetration with a succubus is said to be like, quote, entering a cavern of ice.
Oh, is that a good thing or a bad thing, I wonder?
Well, let me keep going.
Not good.
There are reports of succubi forcing men to perform cunnilingus, which, quote, drip with urine and other fluids. So I'm going to go ahead and say that's pretty fucking nasty.
I'm sure there's somebody out there that's ready to
you know what?
Get urine on
you
their face.
You know what? Not to fucking kink shame. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
The succubus is also believed to have been of a beautiful woman. However, up close, she is believed to have looked quite deformed, with features such as a serpentine tail or bird-like talons,
yeah,
which did eventually evolve into the story and mythology of the siren.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, the succubus bears resemblance to the Lamia and the Impusa, who were able to alter their forms to feed off of men and seduce them to marry them, only to leave them the night before their nuptials.
Oh, so sad.
Mm-hmm. Lamia was one of Zeus's scorned lovers who devoured children and men in order to get revenge for her own lost children. And the Impusa is known to feed on the blood of men, and they are actually the basis for the image of the modern day vampire.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I saw that in the Bible there were some references to Lilith in Isaiah 34:14, where she is referred to as a screech owl, i.e. a creature of the night. And more aptly referred to as the night monster. So this is a glowing review of this lady, I would say.
Of this lady.
So it also says that, according to the religious belief, that the repeated sexual activity with the succubus is going to cause deterioration in both physical and mental health of the men who encounter her.
I mean, good for them, though.
Yeah. That's all I gotta say. Or good for her, actually.
You know what?
Good for her. So, like you said, that many other cultures have sex demons as part of their mythology. In India, the succubus are called Yakshini, who are attendees of the Hindu god of wealth, Kubera, and are considered to be guardians of hidden treasure in the earth. They are shown as beautiful, voluptuous females with wide hips and narrow waists, broad shoulders, and exaggerated spherical breasts. Yakshinis are believed to provide gratification to senses, as they have extreme beauty and have power to delight the body. 36 different types of Yakshinis are described in the text of the Tantras, who fulfilled the different desires of human beings. They are believed to always remain young and beautiful, powerful and effective, who, if pleased, can fulfill the materialistic desires of a person. Yakshini Sadhana can be done by following specific Tantras. And I think that this needs to be the topic of another show, because mm-hmm. if you're talking about ways to, basically, various ways to fuck that bring about materialistic possessions, let's do it, man. What's the harm? Let's try this out. Let's see how we can do this.
I am all about it. So in Assam, which is a northeastern province of India, there's another variation of the succubus, who comes to men at night in his dreams and seduces him. And when this happens, the victim's health deteriorates and sometimes develops suicidal tendencies.
Oh.
That seems like a good sugar baby thing to do to a sugar daddy.
A little naughty. That's a little naughty. It's the Anna, what was that lady's name?
Anna Nicole Smith?
Yeah, the Anna Nicole Smith, you know?
She was a succubus, dude.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened, man. Who knows?
There's not very much material on the succubus, while there is tons and tons and tons of material on the incubus.
Mm-hmm.
But there are more stories of the succubus than the incubus, as far as sex stories are concerned.
Mm-hmm. Like personal accounts?
Of course.
Okay.
I mean, because what's...
what's more sexy than...
What's more sexy than a woman?
Yeah. Nothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 19th century, French author J.K. Huysmans, who was most famous for the novel Horrible, which translates
to... How beautiful you said that. Listen to that.
Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which translates to Against Nature, his style being remarkable for its idiosyncratic use of French language, wide-ranging vocabulary, wealth of detailed and sensuous description, and biting satirical wit, became the victim of a succubus while he was sleeping in a monastery. Huysman was actually on a pilgrimage of sorts, and he had spent years of his life engaged in an exploration of the paranormal. This particular pilgrimage was intended to help him return to the Christian faith of his childhood. Now, while his intentions were earnest, perhaps he was still, quote-unquote, subconsciously attracting the wrong sort of spiritual attention. And one night, while he slept in his monastic cell, he awoke suddenly in the middle of sexual climax and just glimpsed a succubus as she was vanishing.
Oh, God.
That sounds like an excuse for the fact that you had a wet dream, right? At 30, whatever, how many years old?
Well, what are you doing in a monastic temple trying to get back to Christianity? And, you know, come on. You're denying yourself all of your carnal instincts.
Look, it's not my fault. Mm-hmm. So,
your fault.
He was convinced it wasn't a dream because the bed he slept in held evidence of another form that had lain behind him while he slept. While he slept. And the belief at the time, again, was that such incidents that took place when succubi sucked the semen from his victims and then changed into incubi, that they were impregnating, you know.
Yeah.
They took the semen and then they kept it warm and cozy inside their bellies and then put it in somebody else.
Yep. Okay. Believable.
Hey.
All right. So some other personal experiences. Actress Lucy Liu told Us Magazine of her sexual encounter with a mysterious spirit. She says that she was sleeping on her futon and some sort of spirit came down from God knows where and made love to me. It was sheer bliss. I felt everything. I climaxed and then he floated away. Something came down and touched me and now it watches over me. Welp.
I ain't mad at it, playa.
Sure. I also think, lady, how much drugs are you doing that you're, like, now telling everybody that you have something that fucked you and now watches over you every day? Oof. How do you even know that?
Right.
Whatever. It's fine. Okay. Here, this is exactly what that lady was talking about when she was like, you're condescending. What? Me? You're on drugs. So there's some paranormal online forums that also document such attacks. One post confesses, I too have been dealing with this problem for years. What I have come to realize is, one, the more I feared it, the more power it has. The attacks increased. And two, as I began to ask God for help, the attacks have decreased, but haven't stopped as of yet. I feel there is a connection with it and the fact that when I was a child, I was molested by my father. Well, this kind of like gets into some tricky territory, right, here, where obviously that admission points to a strong psychological connection between sexual abuse and the incubus phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And obviously it would also be interesting to know the statistical correlation between people who have these experiences and who have experienced sexual molestation.
Absolutely. I didn't even think to research that, but I don't know how you would research that.
I don't know that you would be able to do that because those are probably pretty classified documents.
You know, absolutely. That's
doctor-patient privilege stuff.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
But reading a lot of these personal experiences, it was like, oh man, this definitely sounds a little bit like this person might have just been experiencing some flashbacks or being molested, period.
That's another thing. I think that a lot of the personal accounts are cases of PTSD.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that seems very probable.
I mean, so here's a story about a man named Ethan. He arrived home late one evening in December 2012 in Bakersfield, California. He was beyond exhausted. He had spent a very long day studying and listening to lectures at school, as, I mean, I guess a good boy should, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he arrived home, he collapsed into bed, desiring sleep over all other things. And yet he slept fitfully with thoughts of dread and worry that someone or something was breaking into his home and approaching his bedroom door. Suddenly, whatever it was broke through his door, startling him from sleep. The invading entity flew into the wall behind Ethan's bed and held his limbs down firmly. His ears began to vibrate, even to the point of pain, and he cried out for help, cursing whatever was restraining him. But the entity only laughed at him in a frightening voice, and then suddenly the entity, which later he determined to have been a succubus, cried out, "Soon," and let go of the terrified young man.
Heart pounding, Ethan dashed to turn on the lights, but nothing appeared amiss, and only his dogs seemed to understand that something dangerously evil had entered his home. They barked and scratched at the door, worried about what was happening to their owner.
Could it be, perhaps, that he was in there screaming his head off?
Ooh, I don't know. You think a dog would have been concerned about the fact that their owner was screaming?
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. It's like, I feel bad because honestly, on some of these, I'm like, you just sound like you were horny and you're trying to make an excuse for something. I know. I don't get it. But also, you know, what if he was molested by a demon? It's possible. Like, it's possible, right?
What if he got one of those succubus rings, dude?
Yeah.
He then wandered into the bathroom to have a look in the mirror, and he was shocked to find that his eyes were completely bloodshot and red. I mean, my first thought would be like, oh, shit, you know what? I am tired, so I see why they would be bloodshot.
That's definitely a possibility. Also, if he's, like, in there just strangling himself, autoerotic asphyxiation. God damn it. Cody, I'm pulling a Cody. you know, maybe he just got a little lack of oxygen to the brain and his eyes are red.
Like David Carradine, dude. Yeah.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. in peace. Some men are not only willing victims of the succubus, but they actually do research, plan, and summon the female sex demons. And then another anonymous online poster claims he did pray to Lilith to send a succubus to him. And soon after he prayed to her, this is what happened. He describes her as slender, tall, with fair skin and flaming long red hair. He called her Alira.
Oh.
I mean, okay.
I feel also like, are these people just living out their fantasies, you know?
Yeah.
Putting their fantasies into online forums to make themselves feel like they had, like, I don't know. This is like, what is it, fanfic almost? It's like just demon fanfic.
Yes. So she stayed with a man for a number of days and nights, and he stated that the sex was incomparable to any he'd experienced before, and she was positively insatiable.
I mean, maybe this is just a hot chick.
I mean, it could just be good sex.
Yeah.
He was in heaven, and he could not believe his good fortune, singing praises to Lilith for helping him. But after a while, an evil presence also entered his life, pushing Alira out. How he interacted with her changed as well, and sometimes he could only see her in his head or hear her in his mind. Other times he would be out and about in public, and suddenly she would appear to him, touching him in intimate ways, exciting him and simultaneously embarrassing him, as others were around and watching. So perhaps that sort of activity was under the control of a more malevolent force. But look, that's kind of a kink to be like, you know, in public. I mean, I don't know.
Okay,
you
yes. know what I'm saying? Secondly, this reminds me of some things I was reading about, medical diagnosis about this, where, oh, what am I thinking? Oh, okay, so that sounds a little bit like maybe you're schizophrenic or something, and you're imagining, okay, because there was this one, I remember, there was this one account of a young, I think he was like in high school, male, who imagined his teacher was saying sexual things to him whenever he was in public or out at home, and he would hear her voice in his head, like, saying suggestive things to him. He would feel her nails, like, clawing up his thighs, all these things that weren't happening, obviously.
Right.
Well, you know, and he went to the doctor. He was also smoking a lot of weed. Not that I'm trying to demonize weed here, but he was smoking a lot of weed. He had an undiagnosed schizophrenic. Is that what
schizophrenia?
Is that just it? And so the weed, you know, kind of bolstered it. What would you say? Made it worse.
Right.
And
enhanced it.
So he enhanced it. So he went to the doctor. He got put on appropriate medications. He stopped hearing his teacher trying to fuck him all over the town.
Oh, weird. How
so
strange.
This sounded incredibly similar to that.
I mean, yeah.
I'm not saying that. I don't know what I'm saying. Okay. So yeah, that just reminds me of that story.
Okay. So I really enjoyed this title. States a male virgin was utterly corrupted by a succubus.
Okay. How old was this virgin?
I did not research that.
Thanks, Ash. Okay. Now I look all fucking prepared.
No, you don't.
Another anonymous internet poster, among many, was eager to tell his own personal succubus experience. He is diagnosed bipolar and was in the midst of his first manic episode when he first encountered the succubus.
Okay. So somewhat similar to what mm-hmm. I said.
Though he was raised a Christian, he was also just overcoming an addiction to pornography, aka, you know, just being a human damn being, but okay, go off, I guess. Mm-hmm. In other words, the timing and circumstances were ripe for a visit from a succubus. He says the experience began with a sensation of a gentle yet profoundly deep touch to his hand, which spread like a warmth over his entire body. At this point, he was fully conscious, but wondering what was going on. He claims he could not see the succubus, but sensed her speaking to him as well as touching him. She asked him to go to a private place in his home, and he wound up in the car, and that is when the succubus went into action. Because, you know, whatever. She had room, but let's go to the car.
Okay.
Over the next few minutes, he began to see her form in her eyes, both of which were beautiful, yet he could not see her breasts or genitals, even though he had contact with both. Okay. He claimed one of the most amazing parts of his experience was the perfume she exuded, and it was intoxicating. She continued to morph throughout the time he shared with her, transforming her hair, color, her eyes, her body, and even her ethnicity. I felt as though we were in the Garden of Eden, making love for the first time in all creation, he wrote.
Wow.
I mean, for a virgin to say that, that's not...
Well, yeah. I mean, it could have been anything. But, I mean, that's quite a lovely description. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, It's kind of romantic, to be honest. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But for somebody who's a virgin to say, oh, that was the best I've ever had. Yeah, of course it is.
Right. You have no frame of reference, my friend. But sure. Our last story, incubus, succubus.
Was the incubus story.
Incubus, okay.
I didn't find very much on the incubus, again.
Because ladies aren't trying to justify their horny dreams by calling them a demon.
Correct.
We just do it.
We just have horny dreams.
We just wake up masturbating and go with it, you know? We don't have to have fucking reasons. We don't have to make excuses. It just happens.
So, this one I actually found to be like... Come on, dude.
Okay. I felt that way about all of them so far. But continue.
So, on July 30th, 2011, Chelsea from Tasmania, Australia, was attacked in the night by a dark, shadowy entity. She stated, "Most people like to refer to my encounter as sleep paralysis or hypnopompic hallucinations, but I disagree." Okay. "I felt completely aware of my surroundings and everything that was happening. It was about 12 or 1 in the morning, and my cousin was sleeping in bed with me."
Oh, hell. This is already starting off a little bit unfortunate.
"She fell asleep long before I did. Unfortunately, I was having great difficulty going to sleep that night. It almost felt like I knew something bad was going to happen." That sounds like
you're setting yourself up for this shit, dude.
And that sounds like anxiety.
Yes.
Sounds like mama needs some melatonin. Just, you know what I'm saying.
Don't set yourself up for failure. Okay.
"So I was laying in bed for a good hour before dozing off, and I'm assuming it was about 2 in the morning at that point. It only felt like I'd been asleep for a short amount of time when I woke. My cousin was still asleep next to me. Disgruntled at the fact that I've woken up after what seemed like only 5 minutes of sleep, I went to pull off the blankets from me to get a glass of water. It was then that I realized my whole body was paralyzed from the head down, and I could see somewhat clearly, although it was quite dark. I could also move my head around. However, because I couldn't move most of my body, I was freaking out big time. I could feel something rubbing the inside of my thighs."
Oh. Hmm. Did she look over at her cousin to make sure her hands were to herself?
Yeah, no kidding. "My sister's room was close by, so I faced the door and yelled her name several times to help me find that my voice was only coming out as a whisper instead. So, although your cousin is sleeping directly next to you, the thing that you try to do is roll over and call for your sister down the hall?
I guess so.
I mean, okay. By now, whatever it was laying on top of me and rubbing my chest area. When it realized I was calling for help, it began hurting me, pinching or biting me. Either way, it hurt. That's when I got the feeling it was doing it to shut me up, so I did.
Huh. Compliant.
Well, that's when I turned my head straight and saw a black shadowy figure above me. It wasn't pure black, though. It was almost transparent, and I could see by the shape of the figure that it was a male.
What? Okay, sure.
I mean, maybe. Okay, right.
It had a long, long shadow dip.
Once I saw it, that's when the real terror kicked in. My first thought was that it was trying to rape me. Not sure what could have given that idea. Maybe it was the touching of the inside of her thighs, the pinching of the nipples. Yeah.
A few things.
Anyhow, she does go on to say, so I looked down at my left arm and hand, and with all my strength, I tried successfully to clench my fist, and with that, I lifted my arm up to punch and fight the figure off. As soon as I punched, my body kind of jolted, and I threw my head up and sat up in bed.
This sounds very paralysis-y. Sleep paralysis-y. Technically speaking.
No, she said. Okay. My hand was still clenched, and the position in which I punched it, and I was so extremely scared by the whole encounter, I got up and watched TV until the morning. Please note that the whole way through this experience, I was trying to move parts of my body. And then, you know, I said... I don't know why she looked down the hall for her sister while her cousin was sitting right next to her.
Yeah.
But what she said was, also, I'm not exactly sure why I didn't call out to my cousin who was right next to me. I'm not exactly how sure it long it lasted, but I'm assuming at least 5 minutes. I'm sure it was a paranormal demon entity.
I'm sure.
Confident.
Don't ask why.
But I know it. Okay. It's fine.
Well, sorry, lady. I don't believe you.
I'm not sure how confident I am in that.
That whole thing sounds like sleep paralysis to a T.
1,000%. I mean, that's not the first thing that came to mind was that, hey, there's somebody directly next to me. I'm going to go ahead and try to get their help. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I would do.
That's what I did when I had my one sleep paralysis experience. But anyway, you know, that's just a personal anecdote.
Mm-hmm.
So... in pop culture, there's really not a lot of incubus situations in pop culture. Mostly it's succubus because they're hotter, obviously. And Jennifer's Body was one where Megan Fox was turned into a succubus through an occult ritual. I don't know that movie was necessarily critically acclaimed.
No.
But I do remember thinking that there were some parts that they were definitely trying to make people hot in the panties. Doesn't she try to? Because in that movie, does she not try to make out with Amanda
Seyfried?
They do have sex. So okay,
they make out. She makes out with Amanda Seyfried.
That was probably a high school masturbation material for me. Then I can't really remember, but it probably was.
Yeah, that's fair.
So in VHS, the movie where they have a bunch of. What is it called? Found footage little segments.
Found footage. Yeah. Film.
There's one called Amateur Night, which is about a succubus where it's this cute girl and these dudes are getting pretty rapey. And then I think she just like fucking kills them. Mm. And the Dark Tower Stephen King series, there is a succubus. And then last but not least, I didn't really write that much about any of this stuff. In the Twilight universe, which I have no idea about, author Stephanie Meyer explains that there is an incubus demon. Or explains the incubus demon folklore as having originated from sightings of actual vampires who have impregnated women through consensual or non-consensual sex. I could say, did Anne Rice do this way before Stephanie Meyer in the first place? I would think so.
Let me tell you something that's super embarrassing.
Okay.
So I did read the Twilight series.
I bet you were all about that shit, were you not?
You know I'm a romantic at heart. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
However, I don't remember her ever saying anything like that. But the fact that she would write that the folklore is having originated from sightings of actual vampires who have impregnated women through consensual or non-consensual sex,
mm-hmm.
is pretty contradictory to her, Stephenie Meyer's, actual writing, where she's like, oh, he touched her in her naughty place. Like, it's just weird.
Okay, I didn't see, I have no clue.
See, that's what I'm saying, like, it's embarrassing to even admit.
It is embarrassing.
Thanks, Sash.
There, you have aired your shame out to the world.
You have thoroughly embarrassed yourself. Mm-hmm. So, like we said before, although religious leaders did believe that these entities were, in fact, sex demons, some scientists have other theories.
Why did you say scientists like that? That sounded like we're a couple of folks that don't believe in science.
Yeah. Well, I believe that science museums are witch museums. Witchcraft okay. museums.
Okay. Sure.
So the first theory would be, as we've said 1 million times before, yes. sleep paralysis.
Right.
Again, I've never experienced sleep paralysis personally, but from what I hear, it's the most frightening experience one can have. Mm-hmm. It is clearly a very well-known phenomenon, and the explanation provided is that during the fourth phase of sleep, or REM, motor centers in the brain are inhibited, causing paralysis. It's not entirely known why, but the common theory is that this happens so that you don't act out your dreams.
Which, that makes sense.
I mean,
you know,
yeah.
I have a little excerpt from a professor of psychology at the University of Waterloo regarding sleep paralysis. He says sleep paralysis is a condition in which someone, most often lying in a supine position, about to drop off to sleep or just upon waking from sleep, realizes that he or she is unable to move, speak, or cry out. This may last a few seconds or several moments, occasionally longer. People frequently report feeling a presence that is often described as malevolent, threatening, or evil. An intense sense of dread and terror is very common. He, in his research, found that as much as 40% of the population has had such an experience at least once. Mm. About 1% of these people believe it's a demon. But the rest of us are like, wait a second, I had sleep paralysis.
Wait a second, science.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So this paralysis sometimes malfunctions and allows people to actually sleepwalk, or conversely can actually just simply cause the paralysis. The event maintains your paralyzed state, but I swear to God, every person I've spoken to and all the podcasts that I've listened to regarding the phenomenon have said to me or stated that they see demons in the doorway or entities that are moving closer towards them.
That's exactly what I said.
Exactly. They can't move, so they just, again, allow the sleep paralysis to dissipate and they just wait it out. The hallucinatory state that they enter is known as hypnagogia. Like dreams, most people do forget about these hallucinations, but people do remember hearing music or seeing things like their TVs on, or like, you know, the snow on your TVs, or even feeling sensations such as being crushed, suffocated, feeling tingles or vibrations, and sometimes intense euphoria and orgasmic feelings.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sign me the fuck up. You know what I'm saying?
No, I really don't think so. I know that you're saying that because of the euphoria and orgasmic feelings.
You know, I'm an optimist at heart.
It's really quite terrifying. And I think, obviously, that makes sense. If you feel paralyzed, you know, absolutely, you're going to feel terror. Mm-hmm. What was that stupid fucking Netflix show that they put out that I was so jazzed about for the first episode? House on Haunted Hill. I didn't like that shit.
I loved it. I'm going to be 100%. I loved it.
Okay, so there's that character on there who had sleep paralysis, mm-hmm. and like, I did not understand why, even though she knew she had it, every time it happened, she fucking panicked. I was like, dude, move your fingers. Then you can move your hand. Then you can try to move your arm.
Ash, did you watch it till the end, dude?
Yeah, when it became a sob fest, drama-filled story. I was like, scare me, please. I don't want to see your fucking happy ending cutting your sobriety cake. You were supposed to be dead with your sister in that house.
My
with
heart
your
is mom. Broken.
Ugh, I was so disappointed.
As a romantic, and I love optimistic films, I'm like, ugh,
I have never been more disappointed. Because that first episode, where the sister dies and she's in her brother's apartment, mm-hmm. spoiler alert, mm-hmm. she's in her brother's apartment and she is just looks so creepy and I don't know. I was so optimistic. It was just such
for
a
horror.
It was such a sad sack of a horror show.
For horror and dread. Ugh. It's fine.
Ugh. Anyway, so, okay, That's all the theories. This is sleep paralysis, basically. There's nothing else, okay? Sleep paralysis. But if you're experiencing what you identify as sleep paralysis, or worse yet, ongoing attacks by an incubus or succubus, what should you do? Well, even though we are not any sort of medical anything, we would recommend seeking help from a professional and going from there. If you've experienced trauma, a psychiatrist can be an invaluable help in processing that trauma. Sometimes religious beliefs can also be deeply rooted in these personal experiences, considering that the beliefs and convictions about demons are so strong. So there's kind of a subconscious tie in there. If you're somebody who is very religious and you do believe that bad things happen because there are demons and Satan's trying to tempt you, which, you know, it sounds like I'm being condescending. I'm not being condescending. But if that's the case, there's definitely some evidence to suggest that your subconscious is kind of making you believe that these experiences, which can be just explained scientifically, are now somehow involving evil spirits. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, let's seek some professional help. Absolutely. And just see what we can do mm-hmm. to get you through this mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. without, you know, turning suicidal right. or, you know, whatever else you might think right. you should do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Okay. Are you done?
I'm done.
With all your notes?
Okay, I'm well, done with my notes.
That was the incubus and succubus episode
that we've been working on for about 2 months. It's fine.
We apologize if you've had these experiences and you, if you feel offended by anything that I have said in this episode, I apologize and feel free to not email me about it. Anyway, thanks so much, Bianca, for coming and joining me on this episode.
Thanks for having me, dude. It I was had really such nice. A blast, yeah. bro. It was so much fun writing up these notes and not really having them correlate and everything.
No, you did great. I really had fun. It was great.
Thank you.
Everything was great.
It's all good. It's all wavy gravy, baby.
Yep. Okay. Well, if you are out there and you want to follow us on Instagram, little Bianca over here has a has a podcast called Crime Brulee at the moment, and it is Crime Brulee Pod on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to follow her personal Instagram, maybe she will, maybe she won't follow you back. I don't know. I don't know what your Instagram's like.
I most likely will.
Okay. It's just Bianca Mata.
That's correct.
So you know how to spell Bianca and Mata, M-A-T-A. Mm-hmm. So there's that. She's a delight. She's a beautiful delight. So go follow her and go listen to her podcasts, which she does similar topics that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then, of course, Creep It Real Pod on Instagram, Creep It Real Pod on Twitter. I haven't been on there in 3 months, but, you know, it's there. Let's see, what else is there? I always forget all this stuff. You know.
Your email?
Yeah, creeperrealpod@gmail.com. If you want to email me topics or things like that, you can do so. Don't send me emails where you're lecturing me. I don't care.
Okay? She really doesn't.
I don't care. Can mm-hmm. I say that one more time? And I do care if you have pleasant things to say or if you want to mm-hmm. talk about cases or mm-hmm. if you have topics that are local to your area that you think that haven't been covered enough. You know I love that shit, so send it over. And I think, you know, oh, and our Facebook group is Creep It Real Pod or Creep It Real Podcast Hangout. You can find it by just going and searching for Creep It Real. And then through there, you can find our little private hangout group where people post memes and whatnot. And, you know, you can just do stuff without sending it to your entire family where they think you're like suicidal because you're talking about demons and murders all the time.
Or a serial killer.
Yeah, that too. I always forget. Like, you could also be a serial killer.
You could be on the other side of the spectrum.
Right. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it. We love you.
Mm-hmm.
I always get so nervous at the end and start, my voice starts shaking at the very end.
Why does it always happen?
Every time. Anyway, farewell.
Toodles.